Good evening. Per and I just got back from our trip home, back to Singapore and Taiwan, which we've been looking forward to for a while. But as usual, it was only as I got on the plane that I started to truly long to be home with family. Before that, my mind is here, and the thought of home feels distant. So the closer we got on our 16-hour journey, the more my anticipation grew. You reach a point where you start to make out the city through the clouds as you look through the window. And then when we have arrived at the airport, make it through the customs, drive back to be with home and family and food. That's the moment when we delight most in family at home. And just to add, I felt the same way coming back here, more or less. Well, that's the heart of the psalmist in our passage today, who yearns to be home with God because he has a deep delight in God. And even though he may not be close to God, he knows how to delight in him. He knows the journey, and he knows that when God brings him there, he will be able to fully enjoy God. For us following Jesus today, we're all on that same journey to be fully with Jesus when he comes again. And maybe you're feeling tired today of walking God's way and needing a break. Or maybe you're feeling distant because your mind is somewhere else. God's word here lifts our eyes and our hearts to delight in God. And a delight in God stirs up our longing to be home with him. And that's the main point of our passage today. A delight in God stirs up our longing to be home with him. But before we go any further, we need God's help to delight in him. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you reveal more of yourself to us. And as we spend time in your word, would you help us to delight in you more, that we may long to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It would be good to keep your Bibles open there to page 493 of Psalm 84. And my first point follows the heart of the psalm, which is a delight in God makes us long to be home. So from verse 1, the song begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." Like a child perched by the window looking into the house, the psalmist dreams of being in God's dwelling place. In other words, the temple back then where God's people could meet God. A house where even the birds could find protection and rest. Surely God's servant will be offered the best. And his deep thirst from his body and soul is not just for the temple, but most of all cries out to the living God himself. He's saying, every part of me wants to be there in the temple with you, my King and my God. And so entranced with the thought of being with a living God that he knows that those who can continue to praise him are blessed. What's amazing for us today is we have access to God through Jesus, as we heard from our reading in Ephesians. We can come to him at any moment when we pray or read the Bible. So to share that same desire of the psalmist is to say, I want to be with God. I want to spend time in the Bible each morning. I want to wake up, I want to go to bed early so I can actually have time in the morning. I want to deepen my relationship with God, not just know him from a distance. And if the dwelling place of God today is God's people gathered, then to share the same delight of the psalmist, that same desire, as to say, I want to be with God's people. I want to be invested in the lives of those at church, even when it's inconvenient or I feel out of place. Yeah, that can be hard for us to say, especially if we feel if we've been far away from God and feel like he's distant, and spending time with him doesn't seem appealing. But if we want to share that desire for God, then we start by going back to him to delight in him. And we know that when we do give ourselves the time and the space in his word, the deeper our knowledge of him and our relationship with him grows. Often I find it the case that if I've been in a dry period, the moment I start to delight in God again through prayer, word, and song, and actually dwell in it, that's the moment where I think, why haven't I come back to him sooner? Why would I not want to be under the care and protection of a loving God who wants me safe and close to him? Why would I not want to be a part of a church family when that gives me a fuller picture of God's majesty? The one who finds joy in God is the one who longs to be in his presence daily and fully when Jesus returns. So the more we delight in God, the more we will want to be with him and his people each day. But next, the psalmist shifts his attention to travelers on this long and difficult journey to be with God, possibly on a pilgrimage. We see from verse 5, my second point, God's strength sustains us on the journey. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. He says, blessed are those who rely on God's strength to sustain them on the journey. Those who love God's house and have made the road to God's house the path that they want to be on. As they travel through the Valley of Baca, a challenging place possibly, making maybe a dry, barren desert, they make it a place of spring because they see it as a blessing to be strengthened by God during trials. From strength to strength, they make it before God. The closer they were to God, the more strength they drew from him to make the journey. All this puts our commute to church in perspective, doesn't it? However, we notice the psalmist switches from referring to they to my in verse 8. He has only been imagining the travelers on the journey. He's not actually with them. Maybe he's further away, but still, he's with God. And he makes known to God his prayer to be on that same journey and to find strength from God. One of the highlights of the trip, which I'll stop talking about, I promise, was river tracing in Taiwan, where we were in the river tracking upwards to a waterfall at the end. It's about a day trip, and you need a guide, even if you don't want a guide, because the guide will show you where to climb, which rocks to step on, as you trek through the river, sometimes having to swim against the current. It can get potentially quite dangerous with heavy rain causing the current to grow stronger, in which case you would want to be as close as you can to the guide, because he's the one that has the supplies, he's the one with the first aid and the expertise to know which rocks to step on, which deep ends to avoid. He'll be the one to pull you up if you need a hand up a slippery or steep rock. But he's only much use to you if you're close to him. And of course, you still need to accept his help, which I found most of the times in our case, we prefer to climb up by ourselves, which is more exciting. Having said that, it didn't rain, and the trek was fairly manageable that day. But the lifelong journey of the Christian is one that can't be made on our own strength. And the good news for the weary traveler who's exhausted from suffering and loss, or just simply just tired of following Jesus, is there's strength found in God who brings us through the valley, giving rain even during the driest times. And the closer we are to God, the more we will be able to be strengthened by him. The more we will know who he is as a loving God who keeps his promises. So the more we can trust him for help. Well, there's the sense of the lifelong journey. There are also the daily and weekly journeys to be with God, to meet God. So something as simple as making it to church another week, or the next time you open God's word. And like the psalmist describes those whose hearts are the highways to Zion, would you say your heart is to be at church with God's people? It's good if we are in the habit of meeting with God regularly. But where is our heart as we come to church, as we open the Bible? It's always easier, always more convenient, always more comfortable to choose not to meet with God, to stay at home, more time to rest, more time to get ready for the week ahead. So let's be asking God to make him where our heart is at. And then we'll find ourselves wanting to be here each week, taking the time before coming to church to pray that he would prepare our hearts to praise him, that he would reveal more of himself to us, and that we would respond to his word. And let's rely on his strength to draw us to him each week. In our last section from verse 9, we see God's goodness fully enjoyed when we're home. Have a look at verse 9. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Here the psalmist returns to his deep longing to be with God. But he expands on it by singing that God is unlike anything else the world has to offer. An extended holiday abroad to the French Alps or warm beaches in Thailand doesn't compare to the joy of being with God for a single day. Living comfortably in the cleanest and safest city in the world doesn't come close to a day under God's roof. He says, I'd rather take the lowest place in your house than the highest place in a world without you. Which in our culture speaks of a lifestyle that says yes to whatever desires feel right, and yes to whatever is going to improve my life. It sounds crazy. Who would make such a claim? But all this is no exaggeration, because again, the psalmist knows who God is, and he delights in him. He describes God as a sun that gives warmth to life and light to their paths on the journey. A shield that offers protection from evil attacks along the way. A God who bestows favor and honor, or better translated, grace and glory, which are given completely without any of our own doing, only received. Grace given when being saved without deserving it. Glory given when his people are being made perfect in Jesus. And a God who does not withhold good things. What he knows is good for us. God's goodness is incomparable. So who can receive it? What's there at the end of verse 11? By those who walk uprightly. Walking uprightly means trusting that God's ways are right and good, and then obeying his ways even when it's hard. Which in our passage, that will look like trusting that being with God is a delight and that the journey to Him is worth it. And then it's choosing to draw close to Him. It's trusting that God's strength will bring you home and then relying on it day by day. And when we're walking this way, it will be hard, it will be tiring, as many of us already feel. But that's when we get to experience more of God's strength in our weakness, more of God's grace in our unworthiness, and more of God's power as He grows us in His likeness. And that's why the psalmist ends by saying, "Blessed is the one who trusts in you." Now, truly, that person is blessed because he gets to experience the fullness of God's goodness. What's striking is, as the psalmist sings of God's goodness, grace, and glory, all these would have been but a faint image at the end of the journey for them. Jesus had not come yet, and so they wouldn't have known the full extent of His power and grace. They had glimpses of God's goodness and simply had to believe that being with God was better and possible. We have much more of God's goodness to look back on today, but we still need to trust Him each day, that dwelling with Him is far better than anything. The psalm today has much to say to us wherever we are on our Christian walk with God. To the weary traveler who's lost energy, would you trust that if God has brought you this far, He can renew your strength as He brings you home? To the distant traveler who's lost sight of the journey, would you trust in God's goodness and draw back to delight in Him? And to the traveler who's still not sure if he wants to embark on a Christian journey, would you see that God is better than anything this world has, and so is worth it? What a joy to know that when we struggle to want to be with God, it's not just the destination that we can hold on to, but the present delight in God that stirs up our longing to be home. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You've made Yourself known to us through Jesus, who we can come to and enjoy. Help us by Your Spirit to want to be with You. Open our hearts and our eyes to see Your goodness this week, and give us the strength to continue longing to be home with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.